I want to speak tonight on the value of the Word of God. You know, I've got a friend, and I stopped over at his house, I guess, a while back. Well, it's been really a long while back. And I told him about this ministry. I says, yeah, we have a ministry. We go in churches, and we generally preach. And then after the service, we give away scripture signs. And people take them, people will take them home and stick them out in their front yards near the street where people can see them driving up and down the street. And he said to me, now, mind you, this fellow, he says he's saved, but he hasn't been in church in about 20 years. So if he is, he's highly backslidden, amen. But what he told me was, Brother Joe, he said, what good does that do? And that shows you the mindset today, folks, that many people have about the Word of God. People today don't recognize or realize the value of the Word of God, amen. But you know, folks, tonight, and I'm sure you folks know this, that the Word of God is the most valuable asset that you can have in this life. Amen? It is more valuable than your house. It's more valuable than your car. It is more valuable if you have a boat, nice boat. It's more valuable than that. Maybe not if you got a Ranger or one of those bass boats. It's naked. No, I'm just kidding you. It's even more valuable than that. Amen? But the Word of God is valuable. Amen? And it's not only valuable, but we know the Word of God is true. Amen? And why do we know the Word of God is true? Well, the major reason we know it's true is because God says it is. Amen? He said, thy word is truth. And another way we know it's true is through prophecy. Do you know that if you figured out the odds of just some of the prophecies that were fulfilled in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, hundreds of years before that happened, you know the odds of that coming true are literally millions and millions to one. And that's just a few of them. I heard a man say that. He said just 12 of those prophecies coming true were literally that's how big the odds were of those coming true. And Christ fulfilled many more of the prophecies than 12. Amen. So we know the Word of God is true for that reason, that those prophecies have been fulfilled. And by the way, the ones that are left will be fulfilled. Amen. Talking about Israel and the promises of Israel and the promises to us. I like the one about New Jerusalem. Amen. I've been studying about New Jerusalem. I've been studying a lot about heaven. You know, today a lot of the prophecy teachers, they teach a lot on the tribulation. But, you know, we're not going to be here for the tribulation. You know, so I've been studying a little bit about heaven, you know, because we're going to be here for that. Amen. And I like that one about when New Jerusalem comes down from heaven. You know, New Jerusalem, Bible says, is going to come down from heaven. And it is 1,500. The circumference of it is 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Can you imagine? And 1,500 feet tall. Yes, sir. And how would you like to live up on the top floor of that thing? Amen. You'd have to have an oxygen mask, brother, or something. I don't know how the Lord is going to do that, but I know He is. Amen. And what a place, New Jerusalem. That's where we'll spend, I think some people say, well, New Jerusalem's going to rotate around the earth. And some people say, well, it's going to come down here to earth. I'm kind of leaning towards it's going to come down here to earth. Because we know when the eternal state begins after the millennium that there's going to be no more seas. Amen. And you'd be hard-pressed to lay a 1,500 by 1,500 somewhere on the land. Amen. To kind of squash a lot of cities there. But I think he might just lay it down maybe where the Mediterranean was or maybe out where the Pacific Ocean was because there's going to be no more seas. What a place. Walls 216 feet high. Can you imagine that? And layered with each 12 different layers of it, of beautiful, precious, transparent stones, and the glory of God coming through there, that translucent coming through there, and the gates of pearls. Amen. Can you imagine how big one of them pearly? You know, people say the pearly gates. Well, that's true. There are going to be some pearly gates. Amen. And they're going to be big. Can you imagine how big the gates of pearl would be on a wall 216 feet high? That's a big wall. That's 21 and a half stories high. Just the wall of it. Amen. You know, they say New Jerusalem is so big that if it was a cubicle, which I personally don't believe, I first, this is martiology here, but I think it's going to be sort of like a huge mountain. There'll be the gates around it, and this is in the Bible. You can't find it there, and you can't find a lot of the people that say other things about it either, aren't in the Bible either. So my guess is as good as theirs, amen. But I think it's going to be just a huge mountain, you know, and you know, buildings and things, and that river is, you know, it's got. It'd be hard for that river of life to flow down a cubicle, amen, from the top, amen. So I believe that's what it's going to be, and they say that if it was a cubicle, if it was that big, 1,500 feet high and 1,500 foot circumference, a square, if you just took the first floor of that thing, there is room on the first floor of New Jerusalem for if there were 40 million Christians that lived on that first floor, there would be enough room for every Christian to have a mansion 1/2 mile by 1/2 mile in circumference. That's a good sized mansion, amen. I'm ready for that, amen. That'd make Buckingham Palace look like a log cabin, amen. 1/2 mile by 1/2 mile. I wouldn't want to be the housekeeper there, amen. That'd take a lot of dusting, wouldn't it? But what a place, heaven, amen. And it's worth it all, amen, to serve God. That's why God says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. This world is not our home, amen. We got a place prepared that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor perceive the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I think he's got it prepared up there right now, amen. And I think maybe when people die, that's where they go. Maybe they go right up to New Jerusalem right from the get-go, amen. Absent with the body, present with the Lord, they're up there. I don't know. That's more martiology there for you. But I'm ready for it, amen. I'm ready for heaven. And if you're born again tonight, you will spend eternity in Jerusalem. So we know the Bible is true because of prophecy. We know the Bible is true because we know the Bible is valuable, rather, because it's a priceless book. Amen. We talked about that. It's a powerful book. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a perfect book. Amen. It's a preserved book. You know, we have the infallible Word of God. Amen. People say, can God preserve a book? Well, he created the universe. Amen. I think he can preserve a book, don't you? I think he can handle that one. And you know, God so magnifies his Word that he says, I have magnified thy Word above thy name. Amen. And David said, I stand in awe of thy Word. You know, the Word of God is awesome. Amen. It's awesome. So we've got a valuable book. And what does the Bible do? How does the Bible work in our life? Well, first of all, the Bible works in salvation. Amen. You know, tonight, if you are saved here tonight, just like the pastor said tonight, if you are saved here tonight, you got saved because of this book through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And nobody has ever been saved without the Word of God. Amen. Somehow, you either had the Word of God preached to you, you saw the Word of God, you read the Word of God. Somehow, the Word of God is an integral part of your salvation. And we see that in that verse, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James said in James chapter 1, of his own will begat he us with the Word of God. And then down in 23, he says in that same chapter, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is what? Able to save your soul. Amen. Paul talked about Timothy. He said, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Paul said back there in Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. And I believe that water, there is the woman's water bag breaking there at birth. But you know, the Bible does say that of the washing of water by the Word, you know, so you could maybe put both of them in there. I don't think you'd hurt either. I believe really the reference is the woman's, because Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the Spirit. But the Word of God is God compares it to the water of the Word. So to make a long story short, the Word of God is saves. Amen. And how does the Word of God save a person? Well, number one, the Word of God convicts people about their sin. Amen. I don't think anybody has ever gotten saved until they've come under conviction about their sin. You know, and they may have, I guess it's possible, but I don't think so. I know when I got saved, I came under conviction about my sin. I was raised a good little Roman Catholic, a good little altar boy, 10 years of Catholic schooling. I mean, we had all kinds of religious paraphernalia, but no Bible. Well, my mom died when I was 16. My dad died when I was 17. And I had an apartment when I was a junior in high school. We began to smoke marijuana there in the Akron area and take pot. And pretty soon I was taking that LSD, you know, this is back in 1969. And before you know it, I was one of them hippies, amen, with that long hair and the bell bottom. Spare change, man. And, you know, and, but it wasn't long after that that a friend of mine, I say that in quotations, invited me over to his house one day. And he turned me on to my first injection of heroin. And he injected heroin into my arm one afternoon. And for the next 5 years, I was addicted to the drug of heroin. Folks, I wasn't a happy camper. I was miserable. I hated my life. But I didn't know there was a way out. Back then, they told you the way you got off drugs, either you died or you went to prison. And that's what happened to most of my friends. They either died or they went to prison. I had one friend, he moved out to California, a tremendous athlete there in Akron, Ohio, a tremendous basketball player. He moved out to California. He wasn't out there 2 weeks and he died of an overdose. I had another friend, the guy that actually turned me on to that injection of heroin. He went to prison. He got out of prison. He was on parole. He was up in a motel room one day with another man's wife and a bag of dope up there. And he heard a noise out in the parking lot. And he walked over to the window and he looked out the parking lot window and there was a police car driving across the parking lot. And he thought that police car was going to come up and bust him. And he knew if he got busted, he was going back to prison because he was on parole. So he told that woman to go on outside. And he went in the bathroom and took a .38 and blew his brains out. Folks, the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. Sin's fun, but it's only for a season. And the devil will have his way. Amen. The people that used to sell me my drugs, I went over to their house one day and knocked on their door. And she came to the door, Marilyn, and Tony wasn't there that day. And she gave me my dope. And I looked up at her and I said, Marilyn, she looked a little bit weird. Her makeup was kind of messed up. And I said, Marilyn, are you okay? You look a little sickly. And she says, oh, I'll be all right, Joe. So I went home that night and took my drugs, but I got a call later on that evening, and one of my buddies said to me, Joe, have you heard about it? I said, no, what's going on? He said, Marilyn, she's down in City Hospital there, and she's dying of spinal meningitis from using a dirty needle. And they got her on a respirator down there. And I said, what? And I jumped in my car, and I drove down to City Hospital, and I went into that waiting room there in the hospital, and there was Tony, big, and his family there, and I walked up to him, and I said, oh, Tony, this is terrible. Marilyn's dying. What are we going to do, you know? And he said, oh, Joe, it'll be all right. But you know, folks, there would be junkies that would come into that hospital while his wife was dead on a respirator upstairs. And you know how they do on them respirators. You know, they keep you alive, but you're really brain dead. And his wife was dead on a respirator upstairs, and they would ask him for dope while his family was right there, and he'd go back in the side room of the hospital and sell it to him. And I walked out of that hospital that night. I said, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than this, but I didn't know what it was. I can remember many times, not many times, but sometimes driving, strung out on dope, driving out West Market Street there in Akron, Paroline, Ohio, and going by my old church, St. Hilary's, and wanting to pull in there. But I didn't pull in. I just kept going because I knew they weren't going to tell me nothing. They didn't tell me nothing for the years I went there. I knew they weren't going to start then. Amen. Well, what happened was a friend of mine, we decided we're going to have a marijuana plantation. And so we bought a farm down in southern Ohio, 189-acre farm. Back there, you could buy them dirt cheap in southern Ohio. And we bought a farm down there. We were going to have one of those hippie communes and a marijuana. We had big plans for it, you know. And there was a road going out of Zanesville there, just north of the farm. And on Route 60 there, on the side of that road, there was a sign that said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I used to look at that. What does that mean? I was just a dumb hippie. I didn't know nothing. You know, what does that mean? I mean, Akron Baptist Temple used to have a huge neon sign there in Akron, the length of this whole building. I used to think that was a Jewish synagogue, you know. I didn't know nothing. And you know what? I began to come under conviction in my life. Amen. And I didn't even know what conviction was. I mean, I got to the point where I could hardly breathe. Amen. And I'd be sitting in bars and people come up to me, Joe, you look like you're in a crisis. And I didn't want to tell them, but I was. Well, it wasn't long after that a girl that I had dated and partied with, she left a New Testament outside my door, my apartment door, one afternoon. And she left a flower and a vase out there. And she wrote in the front of that New Testament, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And you know, I took that Bible in my house, and a couple months later, I said, well, you know, I've tried just about everything else. I'm going to try reading the Bible. Maybe that'll work for me. I'd never read it before, you know. The old Catholics, we never read the Bible. And so I started reading that New Testament. And I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And folks, one night there, I was up there in the book of Romans, and it started in chapter 1. And by the time I got to chapter 3, amen, I was under conviction. I mean, real conviction. I read it in there where it said, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And God put his finger on me and said, Joe, that's you. And I said, you're right, Lord. And it kind of made me feel good. You know why? Because I thought I was the only dirty, rotten sinner in Akron. When I read that, I realized everybody was. Amen. And then I read Romans 3:19, where it said, all the world is guilty before God. And God said to me, Joe, that's you. You're guilty. And I said, you're right, Lord. And then I read Romans 3:20, where it said, because we're guilty in 19, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I said to myself, now, wait a minute. If I'm going to hell because of my sin, and I'm guilty before God, and there's none righteous, no, not one, and I can't get there by keeping the Ten Commandments, you know, just how do you get to heaven? Because really, that was contrary to everything I was ever taught. Well, I got down to Romans 3:24, and God saved me on this verse. It goes, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And when I read that verse, I realized me, a no good, dirty, rotten sinner, could be justified freely simply by believing on Christ. And folks, I did, and God saved me on that verse. I mean, I felt the Holy Spirit come in. I knew my sins were forgiven. I called up my nephew. I said, Tom, get over here. Something's happened to me. I don't know what. He came over and said, what's wrong, Joe? What's wrong? I said, I don't know. Something's happened to me. You know, he's old. Okay. But folks, I'm here to testify today. I haven't had a needle in my arm in 37 years. I ain't smoked a joint in 37 years. I don't think I've cussed or sworn or even said that F word once in 37 years. But folks, you know, it wasn't me. I'm not bragging on me today. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Joe Marshall couldn't get to first base. Amen. But it's not only, folks, it's not only getting saved, but totally turning your life over to Christ. Coming to church, starting to witness for Him, and getting in this book, folks. That's what did it. Amen. And you know what? Honestly, I have not had the desire. I can honestly say I have not had the desire to drink a beer or smoke a joint or stick a needle in my arm in 37 years. Not even the desire. Now, you ask a junkie if they can say that. Amen. There's people that get off dope today and they get on these AA and then NA and stuff. And they get off, but they still got it up here. Amen. But Jesus said, I've come to set the captive free, amen, and open the prison them who are bound. So, you know what? That's why I believe in the Word of God, amen, because the Word of God convicts and the Word of God saves, amen. And folks, we shouldn't be ashamed of the Word of God, amen. You know, the world, they're not ashamed of their stuff. I mean, we came up Route 75 a while back from Florida. And we just south of Macon there on 75. And you know what? For 40 miles, we counted 15 billboards with advertising some kind of pornography. 15 billboards. And I think there was one there that had some kind of little Christian thing on it, you know? Folks, we can't let the devil get a leg up on us, amen? The world, they're not ashamed of their stuff. We shouldn't be ashamed of the Word of God, amen? The Bible says, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. How many of us like to have a reward here? All of us probably would. I mean, we don't serve God for rewards, but it's nice to have a few when we get there. Amen. And Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where neither moth nor dust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So God wants us to have treasures in heaven. Amen. Well, let me give you a formula where you can have a reward in heaven. God says this. You say, Brother Marshall, if I go home and put a sign out in my front yard, people were going to make fun of me. You know, they're going to ridicule me. They're going to think I'm one of them Bible thumpers. Amen. But folks, let me say this. That is good for you to have a little bit of persecution in your life. Now, we don't suffer very much, do we? But it's good for you to have a little bit of that, because you know why? Here's what the Bible says. Blessed are ye that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. Amen. Now, you take a sign and put it in your front yard, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a great reward when you get to heaven, but it's going to help a little bit. Amen? It'll help you a little bit. I mean, if you really want to have persecution, go over there to Iraq or somewhere and start preaching. You'll be in heaven in about 5 minutes. You know, that's real persecution. Amen? That's what them people need over there, good hellfire and damnation preaching. Amen? They wouldn't be running around pulling them little strings on their things and, you know, killing civilians and waiting for their 72 virgins up there in heaven, and instead they'd get that literal flaming lake hell for eternity. They had a little bit of flaming hellfire and damnation preaching. Maybe they wouldn't do that so much, but that didn't cost you nothing. I just threw that out there for you. But folks, so the Word of God is valuable. Turn with me real quick, and I'm not going to be much longer. But turn with me real quick to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, I'd like to encourage you tonight a little bit. You know, sometimes you get saved and, you know, you get discouraged, you witness to people, you invite people to church and they don't come. You think everybody's going to come and get saved because you know what a wonderful thing it is, and it doesn't happen. And sometimes you get discouraged. And the context of this John chapter 4 is Christ had just got done winning the woman at the well, and the disciples had gone to get him some food, and they came back with the food, and in verse 31, Jesus had won the woman at the well. Remember, she went into town telling everybody what the Lord had done for her. And in verse 31, the Bible says this, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, for they are white under harvest. And you say, Brother Marshall, the fields aren't white under harvest. Exactly, right here. Well, that might be true a little bit. But you know, there's somewhere in this world the fields are white under harvest. Amen? But God can't get anybody to go there. And so he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But then he says this. In verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. Now, watch this now. This is what I like to teach you. I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Here it is. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Now, Christ is talking about sowing and reaping here, right? And he says, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Who are the other men that labored? The sowers or the reapers? The sowers, right? And God says that the reaper enters into the sower's labor. I like that, don't you? You know why I like that? We get also the Word of God, amen? I mean, we don't have to be a preacher to sow the Word of God. You don't have to be a missionary and evangelist to sow the Word of God. We can all sow the Word of God, amen? The Bible says, he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know, we have a scripture sign in our front yard, and I'd say probably 500 cars go by our house every day, but conservatively, just say 100 cars went by our house every day. And one out of those 100 saw that scripture in our front yard, and they got saved. Later on, they got saved. Guess what? I had a part in their salvation. Amen? I was the sower. And at the end of a year, how many is that? 365. At the end of 10 years, how many is that? 3,000. It's a lot. You know, I like fifth grade so good, I stayed there 2 years. But it's a lot. Amen. But just for putting the Word of God out. Amen. You know, people say, well, it's worth it if one person gets saved. When you go out soul winning, it's worth it every time you witness to somebody. Amen? It's worth it. You can't take the gospel to the wrong place. You know, I like back what they said in Israel back then. God commanded the Israelites. He said, I want you to put the word of God on your doorpost and on your gate back there in Deuteronomy 6:9. It was a command for every Jew to do that. And can you imagine going around Israel on that day? I mean, in a village in Israel, everywhere you looked, prepare to meet thy God. Be sure your sin will find you out. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That'd be hard on you if you was a heathen, wouldn't it? So it's hard on the heathen, and it encourages the Christians. Amen. Well, that's our goal for Gospel Text Mission. That everywhere people go, amen, they couldn't get away from this book. Amen. Folks, it's a dark world out there. It's a dark world. And the Bible says that the entrance of thy word giveth light. It's a light that shineth in a dark place. Let's pray.